You're listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 87. Hey, everybody. Kayla Lords here with the one, the only, the guy in his underwear, John Brownstone.
Yeah, that's me.
You know, I have a seven-year-old that does that.
I know.
Yeah.
If he can do it, I can do it.
That's true, but his are Angry Birds. So I'm thinking we need to get you Angry Birds underwear.
No.
Just saying, that would be a bird on your butt. That would be hilarious.
Iron Man.
Ooh, okay. And we continue. Today, we're answering listener questions. Just a couple, nothing too major, for reasons. Yeah. There are reasons, but hopefully we'll help people, so there's always that too.
Right.
Okay. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite RSS feed or iTunes. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review on iTunes to help other kinksters find us. You can follow the show on Twitter at LovingBDSM and John Brownstone and myself all across the social media spectrum, including FetLife. And all links are in the show notes. So we don't have a sponsor this week.
Nope.
And that's kind of okay. I would not want to shortchange a sponsor with a show that we are doing that's different from our normal shows. So
this week is really jacked up.
I know. You have to listen to the bonus section to get all the deets, but yeah, did I just say deets?
Yes.
Holy shit. The details. Anyway, but we're going to get right into the show. And I say right into the show, we're going to do announcements because I just think announcements are a thing now. But now that we have a community and people who are doing things with us online as well as through the podcast, it kind of makes sense to have announcements so everybody will hear things. Yeah. So, okay, quick. Trying to do it real fast. I'm going to try. We'll see. Have I ever done anything real fast?
No.
I know. I should not lie to myself or to the listeners.
That's true.
Or you. It's wrong to lie.
Get your ass whooped.
And not in a good way.
No.
No. Okay. So we're just going to do the damn announcements. Okay. So the first one is, as a reminder, and some of y'all I know are tired of hearing about this, but because it's new, I feel like I have to just keep like pushing it. Don't forget Kinky Book Club. Mm. We're preparing in the month of June for the first conversation in July, and it will be on John Warren's book, The New and Improved Loving Dominant.
Correct.
Which I still need to read. There are reasons why I haven't yet. I have legitimate reasons. We'll talk about that later. So if you're like, Kinky Book Club, what? The link to the information about the book club is in the show notes page, and you do have to be a member of the community in order to join, but you can be a member at the free level, so it's, you know, it's signing up for stuff. Mm-hmm. It's not, you don't have to pay. We'd love if you'd become a paying member, but you don't have to.
Right.
Oh, that's another announcement I forgot. This weekend, if you are a paid member, we will release the next video. The
monthly video.
The monthly video that we do. So if you're like, what? We have videos on impact play, different types of impact play. We have, mm-hmm. We're right now in a series on sensation play. So we've done the Wartenberg wheel. I let myself get tickled, even though I hate tickling.
Sensational.
I don't know about all that, but sure. I don't quite yet know what sensation we'll be doing for this month. We've floated a couple ideas. I know. I said the most dangerous thing.
Yes,
you pick, Daddy. You pick. I don't care what you do. Mostly because I am brain dead right now. I cannot stuff another thing in my brain. So that is coming as well. So you will, the first possible date you can hear this recording is June 16th, 2017, and ideally by June 17th, which is a Saturday, the video will be out that day. That is ideal.
Correct.
But once, if you stick around for the bonus section, you will find out why we might not get what we ideally want this particular weekend. Tell it all later. Okay, so the other thing I wanted to let you know, last week we talked about, because I was late and shitty and should have been mentioning this all along, a bad marketing department. So on John Brownstone's vanilla site, thewooddom.com, he had a Father's Day giveaway. He made a pin, right?
Yes.
Florida Live Oak was the wood. Correct. You used, right? Yeah. So that giveaway is over, and we selected a winner through the raffle copter random drawing thing. We didn't actually choose. I clicked a button and the system chose. But we've already gotten it out in the mail, and hopefully by the time this show is live, it's probably already there or close. She's a listener of the show.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. awesome.
Very cool.
I know. We love that.
Yeah.
So if you are listening, you know who you are. And we love the fact that a listener won.
Congratulations.
I know. And we are coming up. August is our late August is our anniversary kind of month.
Wow.
And I know. And I'm already thinking about a giveaway.
Okay.
Which means I need to get on the fucking stick and get merch done because
Here's
what I'm thinking. And this is just thinking. And so it could change a little bit. I'm thinking free membership. I'm thinking a gift basket of merchandise.
Yeah.
I mean, what if for a 2-year anniversary of the Loving BDSM podcast and now community.
Right.
We like totally decked somebody out in merch and a paid membership.
Woo.
I know. And there might be other stuff. I don't know. But I'm thinking that's where we're going with that.
Cool.
So be listening for that. I'm adding all kinds of announcements I did not write down.
Yes, you are.
Because
you're going off script again.
I am going off script, but this is a good thing. My brain has been in a total fog this week, and it's right now that I'm becoming energized and feeling more myself, which is so wrong. It is 10 o'clock at night our time on a Thursday night.
Yeah.
2 hours before the show goes live.
Right.
I know. We like to cut it close. Okay. So no more announcements. We're going to get into the show. What we're going to do is we're going to, you're the one who received these emails.
Correct.
And we're not going to say the names of the person. And
no.
If we get if I see an identifying detail, like a location or something, I'll cut that out. But I have been voluntold that I'm going to read these. and we're going to read it. And our thinking is that while the person has their own specific details about what their issue is, that overall the concept of the issue might benefit multiple people.
Right.
So that's what we're going with. Okay. So we're going to get into the first one, and I can't work my computer, so I'm going to read this. So bear with me here. It says, okay, I am a bisexual, non-monogamous, can't even speak. It's three letters, words in, and I can't say it. Okay, we're going to try that again.
Take two.
I know. We don't edit, so everybody gets to hear how I fucked it up.
Right.
I stopped. I said something to you, and we're going to start again like I didn't do anything.
Carry on.
Okay, imagine that little, what's that marker thing they use in movies? That little clapper, slapper thing, right? Somebody knows that word, and feel free to tell me what that word is. Okay. I'm going to try this again. I'm a bisexual, non-monogamous woman who has been married to a man for 14 years. We recently discovered that the model that fits our dynamic best is DS, me dominant. Discovering this has made things snap into clarity and rejuvenated our love and sexuality, and naturally we are very excited. I have a couple of areas that are challenging me, however. Despite having a lifelong interest in bondage, I have limited real-world experience with BDSM play and I'm not sure how fast to implement this or how to skillfully roll it out in a way that is at the right level of edgy and challenging, but not too much at first. I've been reading and listening to podcasts nonstop. She mentions us directly. Hopefully you're listening right now. Hi. She'd love a beginner's workbook or something with some steps describing how to go from boring vanilla to mind-blowing BDSM kink without feeling ridiculous or causing intensity that is just painful and not hot. And also, how can I remain dominant and also get the opportunity to be the recipient of the play at times? Am I going to stop there? I'm going to go ahead and go forward, but we'll come back and answer these separate because it's kind of two separate questions.
Yeah.
I'm also finding out that there seem to be limited resources for us as a female dominant DS couple to refer to. Most seem to be focused mainly on the kink, and I want a guide for me as a Dame about how to structure this relationship, how to give him what he needs that he may not recognize himself, how to not feel guilty for taking what seem to be unfair privileges. she says, we are progressive hippies with strict egalitarianism as the foundation of all our prior life ethics. And then goes on to say, this is confusing. I get it. It's confusing, but that's, I think you and I think can relate to
right.
that. Yeah. Okay. So, also how to know that it's working for him without constantly checking in and breaking the mood. Do you have a website, a book or other resource that you would recommend or post of yours that would be helpful? This is my first time on your website. Yay. Welcome. And we didn't scare you away. And I'm taking the opportunity to email you without looking around much first, which that's fine. That's cool.
Fine. Yeah.
We don't mind. And it actually came to you through your website.
Correct.
So, I'm sorry. Did you hit reply and say you need to go to lovingbdsm.net. Not yet. I know you haven't. I'm teasing. Okay. So we've got a couple of issues that I still think, in my mind, they go together. Basically, you've got a new DS couple.
Correct.
They're not a new couple, but they're new to DS.
To DS
and the BDSM and the kink.
Right.
And this person sounds like the kind of dominant, male, female, doesn't matter, that just makes my heart sing. Because she's going, how the fuck do I do this responsibly? Yeah. How do I take care of my partner and myself? How do I make sure this is good for everybody? How, you know, I need to be careful, but how the hell do I do it?
Right.
Right. So, I guess we can kind of start... I'm, you know me, I'll probably answer the whole thing in a rambling mess, because that's what I do.
You do it so well.
It's a talent of mine.
It's your superpower.
One of many, and they're all, they all make me look nuts. Anyway, so my first thought is always talk to one another.
Absolutely.
But I recognize that talking to each other is not enough if you feel like you need resources, because it's like, well, I know I need to talk to my partner, but I don't know what to say to my partner.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I have a list of books that I would love to claim as resources, but I have not read them yet. Of course, we know The Loving Dominant is a good one. Now,
right. Now, the thing is, you know, you say about them being in a DMA format, you know, understand most of the well-written books on DS, they will even tell you can interchange.
Right. I think there's this thinking that, oh, I'm a female dominant, so it's different from being a male dominant. And right. In some ways I can see that, because if you are raised to think maybe as a woman that you are either not supposed to do something, or you are supposed to do something, and now you are in this dynamic that kind of asks that you flip that, you can probably feel like, oh, there's clearly a certain way I'm supposed to be, and you're fighting maybe cultural teachings, societal teachings, what you were taught as a child. There's all that stuff that you have to maybe fight against. Mm-hmm. So you might, I can see where somebody would go, okay, I want another woman to tell me how to do this. And I feel like the cheap and easy answer is to say it's not really about gender, because gender does color things. It does affect how we look at the world. So I don't want to say that, oh, no, you don't have to worry about the fact that you're female. Just be dominant. Mm-hmm. Go read these resources all written by men. I do absolutely understand that a man's experience will be, or people who identify as men will have a different experience than somebody who identifies as female.
Right.
But to me, it still always comes down to, think about what you want, think about what your partner wants, learn how to do it, and then travel the road together. There is no right way to be a female dominant or a male dominant.
Right. Now, there was one resource that came to my mind.
Okay.
I'm probably going to butcher the name, and I'm sorry, I'm terrible with that. There is an author, Dr. Charlie
Ferrer.
F-E-R-R-E-R.
She's very well known in the online community.
Right.
I can tell you that much.
She has a book, BDSM, The Naked Truth, written from a female perspective, a female DMA perspective.
There are a lot of books written from female dominant perspectives.
Now, see, I have not really run across that many.
Well, I think it's what gets blown up and what gets the publicity. Mm. They're out there. They're just not getting... We're on kinky Twitter, and I know not everybody uses Twitter.
Right.
But I promise you, for every one male dominant either following me or I'm following them that I see online, I see five female dominants.
Do you?
Okay. Now, that's my sphere, which could be different from somebody else's sphere. So
true.
I think my point in that is they are there.
Okay.
I think in this case, you know, you have to go looking for it.
I'm not saying they're not there.
No. But I think what you have to do is you have to go looking for it. Charlie Ferrer. Yeah, we're both fucking her name up. And she's, my understanding is she's very nice. I've never met her personally. Mm-hmm. She's very smart. I've never come across anything she's ever put out that I went, oh, that's questionable to me. Like, she's a responsible kinkster.
Correct.
And long-term in the lifestyle.
Yeah.
So in my experience has been that once you kind of, it's like a pulling a string. Once you pull the first string, you find the first name, you find the first resource, you will be amazed. Pull that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
They're all there. There are people there. They just may not be getting the notice that other people are.
True.
And the focus is on the male dominance because we've got the stereotype in our head.
True.
That dominance are
now. Male. Correct me if I'm wrong, because it's been a little while since I've been there. But Dominant Guide online, don't they have a good number of domains that write on the site?
They, I believe, unless something's changed recently, and they are going through some website changes, so that's the case. Ah. I believe it's primarily men.
Okay.
But I have, now, full disclosure, this resource I'm about to tell you about, I have started kind of writing for them.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Kink E Magazine. And they write about kink on a lot of different levels, but my understanding is I am actually one of the few female submissives writing for them. It is, they have several female dominants who are writing for them.
Gotcha.
And part of their group of contributors. Mm-hmm. So that may be another resource. Kink Academy is a good resource. And because it's all over the spectrum.
Right.
And every time I've gone to look at anything there, it's a good mix, not only of gender, but of seemingly sexuality and different dynamics. I mean, you've got, you know, especially if anybody's thinking, oh, well, where are all the people of color? I saw some videos there were people of color. So you get, they seem to be very diverse across the spectrum, from what I can tell. So that is another good resource. I think it truly, truly comes down to, and again, I feel like I'm giving the quick and easy answer, even though it's not quick and easy in practice. Yeah. Is it really, there is no instruction manual for how to be kinky or to do BDSM. There are instructions for how to do specific acts. Kink Academy is a good resource for that too.
Yeah.
But it really does come down to, hey, I think I might be into this. And your partner goes, hey, I think I might be willing to try it. You research the activity together and then you just try it and you will... I know as a submissive, I always feel a little awkward when we first try something new, but I think it's as the submissive, feel fortunate because I place my trust in you. So then you not only have the power, but you have the responsibility.
Right.
And so I can see from this listener's perspective, she's feeling, holy shit, I've got the responsibility and I want to come across as like I know what the fuck I'm doing.
Right.
Now, so I think male, female, doesn't matter. I think you could speak to that feeling of, I have to pretend that I am confident, but I might not necessarily feel confident.
True. Now, there's two other resources that we didn't mention that are worthy of mention. One is FetLife.
FetLife, it is.
Now, you know, FetLife can be daunting to many people, but there are actually some really good communities out there.
And that's what you have to go... It's like anything else. You have to go searching for it.
Right.
You will not... You cannot just perform one Google search and your top search will be what you're looking for.
Right. Now, piggybacking on FetLife, depending on where you live, you know, look for local groups in your area.
And you can usually find them through FetLife.
Right. And those can generally be found through FetLife. Just Google your city or town name.
That's true. I did Google, you know, our city and town name, and I did find our local group on Google.
Right. So, you know, or do the search within FetLife.
Yes, FetLife. Okay. FetLife is usually the first place, I think, to start anymore.
Yeah.
I think most kinksters know that if you have a local group in your local area, you need to have put it on FetLife so people will find you. But if that fails, if you just live in too small of an area or whatever, then Google actually can help. But yeah, talking to one-on-one to people who have done this is probably the biggest educator.
And finding, you know, if you have the opportunity to get into the local community, having a living, breathing mentor.
True. Finding somebody that you respect and that you have a connection with and a good vibe with that you feel like you can. And it's not something you'll walk in the door and go, oh, that's the person over there. They need to be my mentor.
I mean, you know, you'll have to, you talk with people, you meet with people, and you find somebody who's, oh God, I can't think of the word, whose thoughts and, you know, align with yours.
Yeah, you'll find a good vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so it's not just me tonight.
No, it's
good
not.
Good to know. But
we're both out of sorts this week.
I think that's kind of the mid to long term plan.
Right.
So for short term, you're like, okay, well, I want to fucking get kinky tomorrow night. Okay, here's the thing. First of all, I think what the first thing you have to do is try to take out of your mind this idea that if you sit down with your partner and you go, hey, you like this thing, right? And they go, yeah, I like that thing. You're like, hey, what if I did it to you this way? And they go, yeah, I think that'd be a great way to do it. That somehow ruins the moment.
Not necessarily.
You actually can create a sense of anticipation.
Right.
Because just because you ask, hey, what if I smacked your ass 5 times on one side and 4 times on the other and then, you know, squeezed your balls, you know, you might describe it that way. That doesn't mean in the moment that's what you're going to do. Nor yeah. does it mean once they get into the moment that they're counting the smacks. Mm-hmm. Unless you, you know, unless that's part of your right. play and you tell them to. My point is, sitting down and talking with your partner frankly, openly, and saying, hey, we're trying this kink thing, and I would really like to set up a scene. Let's try our first scene.
Right.
I think a lot of us get it in our head that we want it to just sort of flow seamlessly, and we want to just make things happen, and we want our partner on either side of the slash to walk into a situation and everything is set up just so, like on a movie set. It is way...
And it can and it does, but...
That comes with experience, yes. That comes with experience and practice and doing this long enough with one another that you already know what the other person likes and will accept yeah. and is into. Mm-hmm. So then you can kind of go off on your own.
But
and go,
even,
I think
even
we'll do
so,
that.
Even with us, we've had... We've had some moments.
Sometimes in the middle of a scene, it's better to start laughing.
Yes.
But I think we have to kind of get away from this idea that it's supposed to look polished. It's actually really messy and really mundane. You will, I mean, it's mm-hmm. a truth of DS, especially in the beginning when you're figuring out what you like, what right. the other person likes, how you want this to work. You're going to have to mm-hmm. sit down and talk about the details.
Right.
And so if one of the questions is, let me go back into the email so I make okay. sure I... quote this right, you know, how to structure the relationship, how to give him what he needs that he might not recognize for himself. First of all, give him what he needs that you both know he needs.
Right.
Submissives, in the very beginning, we all say it in a slightly different way based on our own individual personality and needs, but in the very beginning, what we might say is, I just want to serve. I just want to submit. Yeah. Or I just don't want control. Or I just don't want to be in charge. Or mm-hmm. I just don't want to make the decision. That might be the way we say it at first because yeah. we don't have the language yet or the True. Experience with the feelings and the sensations and the actions to go, okay, no, what I actually need is to, like, how do I do it? I sometimes will say, I need to be baby girl. I need to be right. taken care of. And then other times I go, you know what? I just fucking need to be used. I need rough sex. And I get I get much more detailed because I have the right. experience.
True.
So I recognize the desire to guide your submissive mm-hmm. even into the things they don't know they need. Here's the deal. Unless you yourself know what they need that they don't know they need yet, you can't guide them there right. yet. You have to start with what you both know about.
Right. And that's where a checklist comes in.
Absolutely. That's enough. Thank you, because that's another good tool to use.
Yes,
which
it is.
We have one for anybody who signs up for our newsletter. You get right. it automatically.
Sign up for the newsletter. You get a BDSM checklist.
It's like 7 pages long, and it's not yeah. complete. I know it's not complete.
Right. There are, but it covers most everything.
Covers
so
a lot.
You sit down with a checklist. You have one, your partner has one, you each go through and check off, yes, I'd like that, no, that is a total hard limit, well, maybe I'd like to give that a try.
I'm curious, but I'm not sure. Right. right?
And you go through the list, you do it each on your own time, and you set a time to come together and sit down and compare your lists.
And you compare it by kind of going, well, what do you like? You like that? Great. Oh, me too. How do we feel about it? And it's not a conversation you might have in one night. It
right.
might take a series of conversations. But then here's the thing. Once you've compiled the list of, okay, these are the things we know for a fact we're mutually interested in, not the questionable stuff, not the maybes, start with, we are positive. We are both interested in trying this out.
Right.
What trying it out looks like will be different for everybody. What your end result after you've tried yeah. it will be possibly different from what you start with, what you think it will be like, because you mm-hmm. have to add experience to it and you have to feel the sensation of whatever it is to know, I like this, I don't like that. So anyway, once you go through a checklist, start with the things you know you're both interested
right.
in. And then pick one thing on the list.
You don't start trying everything all at once. We have said this before. It's not a race.
No.
Take your time. Enjoy it. You know, revel in it. And, you know, something that Kayla and I did in the very beginning when we were talking about our different kinks, I made this into a task for her. Mm-hmm. When we discussed a kink that she was not familiar with, I was like, okay, baby girl, I want you to research this. And then I want you to write up what you find about this. She would do that, and then we would sit down and discuss it.
And the cool thing was, as a submissive with not a lot of experience about those things, which is why I would have been researching it, I learned about it in an empirical, objective manner before trying it out with you.
Right.
So if I read about it and it made my skin crawl in a bad way, I could say, I am no longer interested in this now that I have learned about it. And we could go from there. And then it was my job, it was my part of my submission in a way to serve John Brownstone to bring the information back. So that's the other thing. I think we get very caught up in the kinky acts that we can do to be dominant or submissive. Mm-hmm. We get caught up in the sexual aspects, or not even the sexual aspects, the overtly power exchangey kind of things, you know, the kneeling, the bowing, the crawling, the this, the that, right? To guide your submissive, I say this as from a submissive's perspective, the smallest things work. And they don't, from the outside looking in, they don't look like DS things. Him telling me that my job was to go research something, write up a report, tell him, explain it to him, showing that I understood what I had learned and possibly teaching him something in the process.
We both learned from it.
We did both learn from it. But that making that a task, one, I got to feel submissive. Two, I'm educating myself. And three, I have the responsibility, and I understood I had the responsibility to come back with good information so I could make sure he understood it too.
Correct.
Which meant I didn't just dial it in and do something, you know, half-assed and shitty, because this was something that was good for both of us. So here's what I would say, because the more I talk, of course, the more I think of things that might be relevant. If you are wondering how to guide, if you're the dominant, you're wondering how to guide your submissive in ways that it help them improve, which is, for a lot of us, that is part of it.
That's a good part of it, yes.
That's a good part of what a dominant can do for a submissive. What you'll have to do is go off by yourself so that you don't have the noise of life in your head, maybe, or you're not in the middle of doing the things in your relationship. So you can just have some time to think, whatever that's like, whether it's when you drive or you work out or in the shower. I do my best thinking in the shower, quite frankly. wherever that is, that you can get a few quiet minutes to just think. This may sound easier than it is, and not everybody has the skills to do this. This is something you have the longer you do, the better you get at it. But what you should do, in my opinion, is think about your partner in very as objective as you can possibly get. It's very difficult when you love somebody, when you want to help them or whatever it is, but get real with yourself. You never have to say these things out loud, okay? You never have to say whatever thoughts come to your mind. But think about who your partner really is. If they are really hardworking and they are really smart and they are a go-getter, but they have these quirks or these parts of their personality that you know could use some improvement, think about who they are, good, bad, and ugly, okay? And say to yourself, okay, what are the strengths of their personality? You know, are they hardworking? Are they responsible? Are they, you know, consistent? Are they honest? Whatever it is good about them, what I would say is you're going to take the things that are good about them, their strengths, the things they do well or that come natural to them, and you're going to use the things about them to help improve the things about them that need improving. Yeah. So I'll give myself as an example. I would say, and please, I know you will, correct me if I'm wrong, that I am intelligent, that I am
very much
determined.
Absolutely.
That when you give me a task or a goal or a thing, come hell or high water, I will get it done.
The baby girl whines first, but then yes.
However,
Yes.
I procrastinate.
You can.
I get anxious.
Yeah.
I sometimes lack the confidence I should have in myself for different reasons. Okay?
Yes.
Right. So that's me. And these characteristics will be completely unique to your partner out there. So what does my daddy do? He gives me something that he knows I'm going to be good at. I want you to go and research and write. Those yep. are things I'm good at. I do them for a living.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I want you to go do those two things about this topic that then he brings it back to the DS that we have a mutual interest in. We don't know about it yet. We might change our minds, but right. we think we're okay with this and we'd like to learn more. Bring me back that information. We'll discuss it. So he gives me things I'm good at. Okay, you gave me a goal. You've used skills that I'm good at. You mm-hmm. know I'm intelligent enough to research and understand what I'm reading and to report that information back in an intelligent manner. He Correct. Knows that, right? But he knows I've got shaky confidence that I will procrastinate. So with my procrastination, I get a deadline.
Yes.
I had a very specific deadline. This was not open-ended because that would not have helped my procrastination. And then I go off and I do it because I'm using the skills I already have to do it. I have to beat my own procrastination because I have a deadline.
Mm-hmm.
And as a writer, I do understand deadlines very well. And then when I come back and I report it to him, first of all, he listens. He gives me his undivided attention. Okay, which is kind of heady stuff when you're used to sort of being ignored in your life. You're like, oh, this person's listening to me. He asks intelligent questions. He, you know, comments. But at the end, he then, because like I have anxiety and I can sometimes feel, oh, I'm not good enough, right? If whatever I did well, that is what he focuses on.
Right.
Okay. So you see, I have to do my part. I have to do the work. But because he understands both the good and the bad in me, we don't sugarcoat this. We do not pretend that we do not have these bad things about ourselves. We either work to improve them or we just laugh about them. The baby girl whining, we just sort of have to laugh about. But he uses the things that are both good and bad about me to get me to do a thing that benefits us both in a kinky way.
Bringing them together.
Bringing it all together. And at the same time, we're learning about our kink together.
Yep.
And that's a really complicated thing. And it can be complicated. And quite frankly, your request for a beginner's workbook or something that says go from boring to whatever, I don't know if I could do mind-blowing. I think that's subjective.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's our next idea after the 30 days of DS thing that people do. Okay, maybe that's a thing we'll try to put together. I can't make any promises. If I come across one, or if any listeners out there know of some really good resources, please feel free to tweet at us or email us or whatever, comments on the show notes page, whatever, and we'll be happy to share those too. But it really is one of those think outside of the box things while also using the skills you already have. Daddy is really good at delegating. I think you've probably your whole life been really good at telling people what they need to do. Now, whether he was in a position to do it or whether they listened to him, that's irrelevant. It's a talent of his. So bring this back around. Start, first of all, stop thinking that you have to have this like polished, you know, sort of a theatrical performance to have your kink. Okay. It really is a conversation and it really is blunt and straightforward and messy and weird and awkward. And you will not always know what to say and your partner will not always know how to respond. And you might have to have multiple conversations before you ever have the first scene. And yes, you absolutely should go over every detail of a scene that you're planning. Not every detail, like I said, I will smack you 3 times and then I will stroke you twice. And then no. I want to spank you and then I want to do this and then I want to do that. How do you feel about that? Oh, well, tell me about the spanking. Okay, well, this is what I mean by it. Okay. And you go back and forth and you negotiate.
Right.
The more scenes you negotiate with each other, as unsexy as it might feel, and it only feels unsexy if you have this image in your head of what you think a scene should look like or a negotiation should look like, the more you talk about it, the less you have to talk about it later.
Later.
The more you play together.
That's when things start to flow.
Exactly. But you have to do the hard work of it first where you have to learn. You each have to learn what you think you individually like as individuals. Then you have to bring it together where you talk about those things.
Right.
And then literally like a checklist, you go down one at a time. If you are brand new to it, one at a time. If you've got some experience, you can incorporate the things you already have experience in.
I mean, even when I met Kayla, all right, I had experience under my belt.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't.
Not much. Not very small amount, yeah.
But I did not just walk in the door and say, I know exactly what you need and I'm going to give it to you right here and now. Doesn't happen that way.
No, before you ever physically touched me or did anything kinky, we did a lot of just talking.
Right.
And I know that people who are like, oh, well, we've been together 14, 15 years. We know each other really well. Actually, if you've been communicating like you're vanilla, no offense to vanillas, then you probably don't. There is a, all relationships of any kind should communicate at a BDSM level. They should.
Yeah.
They do not, though. Even BDSM relationships do not always communicate at a BDSM level.
No.
So if... That's where you start.
Correct.
You start at the communication level. You talk until you're so freaking tired of talking. You're like, I don't want to fucking talk anymore. And then you talk some more. You don't do it all at once. You don't do it all on the first day. But you talk and you talk. And you, if you, I imagine it's more different if you're already in an established relationship. Because you already have the relationship. You already have certain expectations of one another and things you already do. I wouldn't say to stop any of that. You're going to slowly incorporate things into what you're already doing, what already works for you.
Yeah. Now, one of the other things she mentions, which kind of fits in with this, is talking about how to check in during a scene without breaking the mood.
Oh, it's not as hard as you think
it
is.
No, it's not. you know, many times when Kayla and I are scening, you know, I do check in with her frequently because, let's face it, every time you scene... It's not the same as the last time.
Right.
Mine's in a different place. May have had an off day. Maybe, you know, not feeling. There can be differences. All right. Now, I do believe in checking in with a sub, especially during intense scenes.
Or new. Anything new.
And, you know, what I do to incorporate it... I will grab a handful of her hair.
Oh, what she's doing now. Oh.
Give me a color, baby girl.
Oh, green, if you're going to do this. Greeny, green, green, quite frankly. Okay. Grass green, emerald green.
So you can work that into the scene. Sometimes I'll, you know, grab her face, her cheeks between my fingers, you know, or lightly slap her face.
Are you fucking kidding me, Daddy?
Give me a color, girl.
Oh, emerald fucking green. Okay.
See, so you can do things like that to incorporate it, but still check in to make sure everything is where it needs to be.
It is about the tone you use even more than the action you take.
Right.
Like, if you are in this mode where maybe you're being really stern and that's working for your partner, well, stay stern. Don't come out of, I don't want to say character, but the moment.
Right.
Stay right in the moment, but go... Where the fuck are you at? Give me a fucking color. Stop right now.
Exactly.
He has done that. He has threatened me. And I'm like floating.
Did that just the other day, as a matter of fact.
I'm floating a little bit. And I know I need to answer, but I kind of don't want to. He was being a little too nice, I think. And then he got stern. Like, yeah, that was actually a shift, but it was a very dominant feeling. And it snapped me enough to go, wait, ooh, fuck, he's going to stop? What, hell no. I promise you, my thinking analytical brain is not going, oh, Mr. John, his vanilla last name, wants to stop engaging in sexual kinky activities with me. I'm thinking, fuck, my daddy's going to stop, and this feels really fucking good. So I promise you, checking in breaks the mood if you completely go from being, oh, I'm in this kinky moment, however that comes out. To a dead stop, and you become wooden, or you become, you sound like you do when you're nagging a kid to like pick up their socks. Okay, yeah, you've changed it then.
Even running your fingers, your nails down their back.
I thought this was an answer show, not a turn baby girl on show. Whew, I'm good. What are we talking about?
So, you know.
Hello.
Hello, welcome back. You know, so that's how you can incorporate that into a scene, check in, and not break the mood of the scene.
Yes. Now, there's another question behind that I do not want to miss.
No.
Feel guilty for what's... No, I'm not looking at that one. I'm looking at a different one. We'll come back to the one you're looking at. Can't we, Daddy?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Go ahead, baby.
I forgot myself for a second. Woo! The how to not feel guilty for what seeming to be unfair privileges. Okay, so first of all, what you have to do, in my opinion, is not think of what your submissive partner is doing or getting or receiving or experiencing as somehow less than what you are experiencing. It is not what you yourself would want. Okay. You want what? Power. You want control. You want to have a say. You want to direct the scene. You want to decide the stuff, whatever it is you want. And it is individual to everybody out there on the D side of the slash. It just because your partner wants some form of the opposite side of that, they want to give up the control, they want to do the things, they want to be told what to do, does not mean they are getting something less than you are. Now, I can understand where you're going, well, but wait a moment, I just told them that their task is to vacuum the house in their underwear.
But if they are a service-based submissive, that fulfills them.
Exactly. That's the thing you have to get to. So while you need to sort of think about what you want as a dominant, you have to talk to and think about and ask and find out and learn what your submissive wants. It will potentially be the equal and opposite of what you want, or it will be something slightly different. But while you're getting whatever it is you want or you need out of your dominance, as long as your partner is getting some form of what they want or need of their submission, you are not getting unfair advantages. They are serving or submitting to you in a way that fulfills them, that is
correct,
different from what you need to be fulfilled. Okay. So I can understand why there would be guilt, especially, I get it. You're like, no, we're equal here and, you know, nobody's in charge of anybody. But you are deciding together to mm-hmm. do something different.
Right.
Your submissive partner gives you the control that you have, which means they can take the control you have anytime they need to or want to. If they feel like it's not working for them, they feel like it's a bad situation, they feel like you are unsafe, whatever it is, you might have it, but it is not yours permanently just because you have it right this second. You have it as long as your submissive allows you to have it, okay? So the perception of it being out of balance is truly a perception problem. Okay, it is absolutely a perception problem. As long as your submissive gets whatever it is they personally need to feel fulfilled and happy and in their at their best submissive self way, whatever that is for them, then they are getting as much as you are getting. It just mm-hmm. looks different. And it's not something you would want for yourself because you're not submissive. Unless you are submissive, I'm pretty sure switches could speak to this way better than ever could. About how, okay, I have a submissive need that's fulfilled, but I have a dominant need that's fulfilled, and you have to balance that. But in a case of you are dominant and they are submissive, what you each want should complement one another. It will not be exactly equal, and it will be black to white or up to down. But it should complement one another so that while you're feeling, oh, I got all these privileges. Look, I have all this control. This makes me so happy. Mm-hmm. If what you're doing is looking at your submissive going, oh, look at them on their knees. They're that poor thing. I would hate that. It's fine that you might hate that. Don't look down on what they're experiencing. That's what they need. The key, though, to make sure they're getting what they need is you have to talk about it first. And they have to have the freedom to say, especially when you're new to this or it's new to the two of you. They go, I think this is what I need. I think this is what I want. And then you try to help them get that. You give them tasks, or you structure your relationship in a way, or you structure your life in a way that they've told you they want to be a service submissive. They want to do things around the house, or they want to do things for you specifically in order to serve. And you say, okay, we'll do it that way. And you give them things. And they start doing them, and they realize as they grow more experienced in their own submission, ooh, I don't really like this. Not this is difficult and it's new and I'm scared. There is a difference in why somebody doesn't like something, why they might resist it. But this is doing nothing for me, and it's actually making me not want to do it, and this isn't fulfilling me at all. That's not something they'll necessarily know right away. It's not something that they will articulate that way. But if you try a thing and your partner goes, okay, I tried the thing. I didn't know. I was new. I tried it. I don't like this. This doesn't work for me. Then you, as the dominant, have the responsibility to go, okay, let's regroup. Let's talk. Now that you know a little bit more, what do you think? Let's adjust this. Just as while you're out there figuring out your dominant self, you're going to think on day one, I want to be this kind of dominant. And then you will be that kind of dominant. And you'll go, maybe I don't want to be that kind of dominant. And you adjust. And whatever that you're doing that you decide or you discover, ooh, I don't want to be that kind of dominant. If it affects your partner, you absolutely have to tell them. I thought I was, what? I thought I was a master or a mistress or, a, you know, whatever that level is, depending on gender. But really, I'm a caregiver. Or really, I'm a this. I think I am. Or, because we have to be careful of labels and titles.
Right.
I thought I was like this hardcore master, but I'm kind of a master and I'm kind of a, you know, caregiver and I'm kind of a this and I'm kind of a that. And you mix and mesh it and mash it all together until you figure out what works for you that also works for your submissive and y'all can work it together.
Bring it together in the middle.
But that takes, that can take so much time when you're still new and you're still learning. And the thing is, we never stop learning in this.
No.
Ever, ever, ever. We are learning things all the time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I learn things just from the questions people ask because I have to kind of stretch my brain and go, I had never thought of it that way. Let me think about this. So the thing is don't think that you as the dominant are supposed to just like show up one day into your DS relationship and go, I got it. I found the right resources. I know it all. We're good. I'll lead us from here. No, this is a thing that you are traveling together with your partner. You are doing this side by side with your partner. It is equal but opposite. Okay? It should be complementary. And I say opposite. Now, like I said, I don't want you to think up, down, black, white, in, out. It's not exactly the perfect parallel. Or not parallel. Do I mean parallel, opposite? Like, I don't know what I mean. It's a little late. But it can be complementary so that it can be slightly different. You know? Like in the beginning, before you were ready to be called daddy, I was already behaving as a baby girl.
True.
And you were already calling me baby girl.
Yeah.
But we weren't ready to call you daddy, but you were giving me what I needed, even though we weren't ready to sort of say this is
what... We weren't ready to step in those roles.
And we were still holding on to old things that we had done that actually probably wouldn't even work now.
Yeah.
We were still holding on to those things while we were transitioning into this.
To the other.
And so for a while, it was sort of this dual thing until we figured out where we were. And for all we know, in 5 years, 10 years, we might look at each other and go, I think we're something else now.
Yeah.
Let's figure this out. Or it won't be that quick. It'll be the slow transition of just
slow metamorphosis.
Right.
Yeah.
It's meant to be that way. So when you're new, you do it all. You do it all hand in hand the whole damn time, but you especially do it hand in hand when you're new. You learn together. You talk together. It sounds on paper very unsexy. As a dominant, if you haven't already figured this out, you will. Most of it's about the tone and the look on your face. You don't have to issue big fat ass orders for your submissive to melt. Hi, Danny. He's giving me the look. I love the look.
Carry on.
Thank you, Daddy. see, he took off his glasses. He looked at me. It had this like gleam that he gets. This little, and I'm like, I'm truly drooling right now. Major saliva production. Really sexy, right? So it takes a lot less to be DS in the sense of how you affect each other. And yet, the path to getting to this place you might have in your head of what a scene might look like or the guidance you want to provide or whatever it is your goals are or you think your goals might be as a dominant in this situation, you're only going to get there by doing it hand in hand. If you are in a relationship, you are only getting there by doing it together. The ugly, weird, awkward stuff of just talking about stuff and you know, figuring it out together and going into a scene, you're like, you know what? I think today we're going to flog. I've been practicing my flogger and now I'm going to flog you in a scene. And your partner goes, okay, great. Let's go do this. And you get in there and your swing is off and you don't hit them the first three times.
It happens.
Or you do it the first time and it's too hard. And you're like, oh shit, I have fucked up. No, you haven't. They're growing pains. You're learning and you're not, it's going to be awkward at first.
Exactly.
The important part is to try and to apologize when you fuck up. Talk about it. Make sure everybody's okay. Stop if you need to.
Right.
And then kind of learn to laugh at yourself a little bit.
Hell, even the other night when, or not the other night, a week ago now, when we had the place to ourselves.
2 weeks ago.
Two weeks ago. Well, Time flies when you're having fun.
Right.
You know, we did a scene. I had her out here in the living room, tied hand and foot to the coffee table. And, you know, it'd been a while since we, and, you know, I kind of got a little wild with the flogger there.
Oh, my, I have a bruise on my leg still.
I know.
That wasn't even where you were aiming.
No.
And yet I have a bruise, so I'm really not complaining.
See? Well, see? You know, sometimes things, but, you know. It happens. I checked in with her. We kind of giggled about it a little bit, and, you know, we moved along.
Exactly. And that's the thing. I think you have to be able to be really honest with one another. You have to be able to have to kind of say, I have to be able to say to him, and this is difficult for me as a submissive, I have to be able to say, that was not good pain. I did not enjoy that as much as I thought I would. Because as a submissive, I feel like if I have to say to him a thing he wanted to do or try, and I said, yeah, I'm sure, I'm willing, I'm game, let's do it, and I have to go back and go, I didn't really love that much, I do sometimes feel like I'm letting him down.
Right.
I, as a submissive, have to get over that. Hi, submissives, if you can hear my voice, I'm going to need you to get over that, okay?
But that's the thing with that, especially in an S&M, sadistic masochist relationship, the point is to give good pain.
In that situation, right. And the point of if any part of BDSM, whichever side of a slash you're on, you want to give the other person what they enjoy while you are also receiving what you enjoy from it.
Right.
And if you walk into any kink thing with that in mind, I know what makes me feel good. I need to find out what makes my partner feel good, mm-hmm. and then do that for them while getting what I need to, then you're going to be successful. You are not always going to get it right the first time. There's going to be trial and error. You're going to hit somebody in the leg when you meant to hit her in the ass, and she's going to have a bruise, whatever.
I mean, the point is, yes, she wound up with a small bruise on her leg.
I didn't mind. It's a mark.
It's a mark. She wore, it's a badge of honor for her. But if it had been something that was, something, you know.
The flogger wrapped around my torso and hit,
right. Yes.
Hit a very sensitive, soft, organy kind of spot.
Yeah.
That was not a good moment.
No.
You know what? We recovered from it. You checked on me.
Right.
I needed a moment to catch my breath
because
it did hurt.
Right.
And then we continued, and then you were mindful of that spot.
Right.
And you switched floggers so that you could decrease the change.
Right.
The thing is, and I say this, and I think we all say this, but until you actually, from a submissive perspective, really start talking about these things in detail, dominance, good dominance, which this person who emailed sounds like that's exactly what she wants to be, is
right.
a good dominant, which I respect. You might not be there yet because you just don't know enough yet, but the fact that you want to is the first perfect, wonderful sign. They have a lot of fucking responsibility. So some people look at what a dominant does and they're like, oh, well, look, they get all the power. They get all control. They get to decide everything. They get to do this. Yes. And that's what they like about it, or they wouldn't be the damn dominant. But they also have to make sure that they know what their partner wants. Their partner's responsibility is to tell them, of course. They have to make sure that when they're doing this thing that they like, that their partner's getting something out of it. They have to check in with their partner. They have to have the self-control and the willingness to stop when things don't go right.
Yeah.
They also have to have the willingness and ability to go, you know what, I like this thing, but my partner hates it, and I don't want to do this with anybody else, so I will not do this thing that I like. I will do something else that both my partner and myself enjoy. That is a level of self-control that not everybody has.
No.
So every time I think about all the things he, quote, gets out of being dominant, I also have to remember, and it's not hard because I see it up close every day, the million and one things he's doing to make sure I get what I want.
And in that case, what it came down to, because of the height that you were at, because of the table, and the angle, the flogger that I was using just wasn't right. I went to a different flogger that was a different length, different weight, and it worked fine.
Here's the deal. He adjusted in mid-scene. I am tied to the table, y'all. I am splayed out, open, exposed. We are in the middle of a room. Music is playing. He stops. He goes into another room completely, gets new floggers. I'm still recovering because I'm going, okay, was that just a sting and I'll be fine, or do I need to monitor this? And you come out of it a little bit. But I'm still in the moment enough to recognize that I'm naked and I'm bound, and that's sexy, and that hits some of my buttons. He comes out. He checks me, makes sure I'm ready to go. Not unsexy, even though he wasn't all like domly. He just was like, okay, you're good. We're good now. Yeah, I'm good, daddy. Okay.
Right.
And he got right back into it. And we didn't miss a beat after that.
No. And, you know, if it had been something that was more serious, yes, everything would have come to
a
stop.
And you have a million times. You have just stopped. Right. Even when I probably could have gone on out of an abundant overabundance of caution, which is good. That's another responsibility that he has as a dominant. I might get to a point where I am physically incapable of saying I can't do something. Or I might not think something is as bad as it is, or I might not want to admit something is as bad. Right. And it's his responsibility to stop both our pleasure, to take care of me as his submissive. So, you know, when you are thinking to yourself, oh, this is unequal, I get this stuff. Well, first of all, your submissive should be getting something too, even if it's different. And two, for everything you get, you have another 10 or 20 responsibilities that go along with it. So quite frankly, as a submissive, I am constantly going, no, I've got the better end of this deal. I might have to put up with being told no from time to time. I might have to learn how to handle, you know, not getting exactly what I thought I wanted. But what I find is I tend to get exactly what I needed. You will not get that right from the first time.
No.
John Brownstone was not able to give me what I needed, even though I didn't know what I needed, until we had been together for a while.
Right.
Because it wasn't just that he had this experience as being a dominant. He had to learn me.
Right. Because she was different from the person before.
Exactly.
Who was different from
the person before.
Or who will be different from. Exactly. So, you know, it's.
And I think
it's never the same.
I think in terms of this specific question, because we do need to go to the next question. This went way longer than we thought it would.
But there's one more point we still need to address really quick.
Oh my gosh. Do we need to make this a two-parter? We've already been talking for an hour. Anyway. We will address all our points. This is fine. And I lost my point, Daddy. I'm taking it back to a point you made. I found it again. I found my point again. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We probably should hire an editor so we sound more like grown-ups. You talked about how this is not a race, it's a journey.
Right.
You've already been together 14 years, and I know this because people say this to me. I've just wasted all this time and we could have been doing this. No. Every moment that you've spent together led up to this moment.
Right.
You already know a lot about your partner that many new DS couples, they have to kind of play catch up and figure each other out, right? Yeah. So you may have to learn how to communicate again, or communicate in a different way, let's put it that way, than maybe you used to. And maybe you don't. Maybe it's been great for you. You're just changing the element, the power exchange part. Okay, fine. Every day from here on out that you're doing kinky things together is another step in the process, is another part of the journey. And every day, even though it won't always feel like it, you are building on the day before. And guess what? In their case, they have 14 years of experience together already, a 14-year relationship. You already have 14 years to build on. Now, the downside to that is you have a lot of stuff you've already been through that might be pissing you off about the other. You might want to deal with that. But on the other hand, you have... Well, I know they like this. I know they don't like that. I know their personality is this. I know their personality is that. Some of that may change as you fill into your roles a little bit. Right. Because once you feel more completely yourself, you tend to be a little different.
You can almost guarantee that there's going to be a shift.
Absolutely. But you still have a sense of who that person is.
Right.
You're starting from a baseline that a lot of us don't have that luxury.
Right.
So just think about all those years leading up to this was part of that journey. You wouldn't be here without what came before. And now you're going to take it from this step. And every single day, even when you're not consciously aware of it, you're going to add another little piece to it. Right. And so what I would say is think of where you are today. Mark it on the calendar. Circle this date, June 16th, 2017, whatever day it is when you're listening to the sound of my voice. Mark it. And a year from now, 6 months from now, come back and compare. And you will, at that distance... You will see how you've already grown into this as you learn.
You'll be amazed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You said you had a thing you wanted to say.
Well, she also mentioned about, help me out here. You switch screens on
me. I know. I was really trying to.
I know.
There you go. Here you go, Daddy. I'm pulling up the screen since y'all can't see.
She talked about being the recipient of play at times.
Oh, yeah. Now, I guess I would be confused by that. I would want to have more background. When you are, does she mean in a switchy way?
That's how I kind of take it.
Okay.
How can she remain dominant and get the opportunity to be the recipient of the play at times?
Order your submissive to do it.
Well, that could be one way, yeah.
Just say, this is the thing I want you to do to me.
Right. Do they have switchy tendencies?
There's that too.
Right.
You and I had this conversation. We've never, many, many years ago. I say many, but several years ago. I know, right. 100 years ago. No, a few years ago. Where there's a thing that you really enjoy that I will not say because it's your story to tell. But there's a thing you enjoy doing that it just squeaks me out. Not the fact that the thing exists, but the idea of me doing it, it's not going to happen. It's just not, it's not happening. And we had the hypothetical conversation about, well, what if I told you had to do it as a submissive act? And we you remember we debated this. Yes. And the thing that made it not work is because the idea of doing it totally squicks me out. Because it's not that I go, oh, well, that's a... the conversation originally started, well, that's a dom... that would make me feel dominant over you. And then you flipped it on its head and said, no, what if I order you to do it? And then I had to kind of sit with it and think about it. Would I do it? And it just... Right. It's not...
As if it would be a service to me.
Right. So first of all, that is a method... But you have to make sure that your partner is willing to. If it is something, here's the thing. There are certain things because of the way I am wired, masochist, not sadist, submissive, not dominant, baby girl, not a caregiver kind of person. When he asks me to do it, it doesn't matter what the intention behind the act is. The act itself is not a thing I can do. Right. It's just not going to happen. I am not wired that way. So if your partner does not have switchy tendencies or is not interested in finding out if they have switchy tendencies, then yeah, as long as it's a thing that they're not opposed to, make it a task, you know?
Right.
Or the other option, if you get in good with your local lifestyle.
Right. You may find somebody that is willing to top you at some point.
Exactly. And y'all, just because a lot of us think of DS as part of our sexual romantic relationships, just be clear here. No, it doesn't have to be. It's not.
You can be a sadist, you can be a masochist, and that be totally separate from any sexual aspect of your life.
Exactly. So you can, if let's say, because our love is impact play. Let's say you, Daddy, John Brownstone, decided you wanted to be the recipient of a spanking. I would not be able to do it. I would giggle. Or it would be, I do I do teasing spanks on you.
Yes.
In the shower, and that's like, and it's
mosquitoes.
Right, exactly. You could, assuming I was okay with it, that's the other thing, you have to make sure your partner's okay with this. You could what am I trying to say? You could, I would have no problem with you going to the club, talking to a top that you respect, that you like, negotiating a scene where you get your ass spanked. They would never touch a single part of you that we didn't agree that they could touch. You would not have sex with them necessarily. You would not orgasm from it. You would get the spanking. And then I would go, I am the recipient of this benefit because you're going to come home hard as a rock to me.
I mean, there are many different aspects to this. I knew a couple who... The gentleman was dominant. His other half was his submissive. She was switchy. He had no interest in letting her top him. So they ended up being in a triad. Okay. He was her dominant, and she met a gentleman who then became her submissive.
Yeah, I've seen that several times, and different genders. So sometimes it's a female dominant, and then it's can be anything.
Correct.
It can be any way you want it to be.
Go ahead.
No, I feel like we have way exhausted this question.
Okay.
Do you feel like we have way exhausted this question?
Yes.
Okay, I'm a little afraid to get into the next episode. The next question.
All right, well...
I'm thinking it should be a two-parter.
I think we should...
You talked for an hour on this topic. Okay, I talked for an hour.
We.
I would say...
I see another person sitting here next to me.
Why do we Why do we lie to ourselves? So here's what I would like to do. In all fairness to the other question we have, thankfully we did not identify the question... We had a topic we were going to do the very next episode that we were going to do this episode, but we can't because of life. I say we do, even though we have a sponsor for next week, which yay for that.
Right.
We answer the next question next week.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Because we said two.
Yes.
And we will not edit because we don't. We're
no.
We're just all out there in our crazy glory.
What you see is what you get.
Pretty much. So people are going, oh, I was expecting two. And they're going to see that it's an hour-long show, and then they're going to get one.
Right.
Right. So we are going, we'll do a part two.
Okay.
And we might even add questions if we get more,
right.
You know.
There may be more.
I have some sitting in my FetLife inbox right. that I really
and I've
need
got
to.
Another, no.
You've got, I know. So I hope we help this person.
Mm-hmm.
I think we will probably answer right. this person directly just in case.
Yes.
It's a while before they hear a show or something. Right. But what I would say to that is, one, clearly we have a lot to say about things. Now, this was a mm-hmm. complex question. This was multiple questions.
Right. This was...
My tired brain should have read that and gone, oh, shit, we are only answering one tonight. But my tired brain did not do that.
Well, I kind of wondered.
I was over...
Over exuberant?
Something like that.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying to anybody else listening to us, we do answer the questions that we get. We sometimes take longer than we mean to,
right.
but we do. So you can email the show, lovingbdsmpodcast@gmail.com. Both of all three websites, lovingbdsm.net, kaylalords.com, southernserviceplace.com. We all three of those sites have a contact page.
Correct.
That will come to us.
Yes.
Directly. You can reach out on social media. If you have a complex question on social media, either direct message it, private message it,
mm-hmm.
or say, I have a really complex question. What is the email address? And I will send you the email address.
Right.
The problem is if you send me a complex question on social media, Facebook, Twitter, anywhere, it will get lost in the ether. An email, though, I will see, I will keep, I will flag. I will know
right.
I have it. So you can always reach out on social media, but if you it's a big one and it's not like a 2 or 3 word answer thing, I'll probably tell you just to email me. Or FetLife message me, but I really do prefer email because even FetLife messages get lost. Not
yeah.
lost like, oh, I don't know where they are, but lost like there's so many of them. I'm like, oh, whose question was that? Mm-hmm. Whose question was that? So, but what we're saying is feel free to ask us questions. Feel
right.
free to reach out to us. Feel free to follow us on social media.
Yeah.
We are essentially everywhere.
True.
Yes. You are sometimes John Brownstone on social media, and you are sometimes Southern Sirs Poor. I got to fix your Twitter.
You keep saying that, but you've got enough on your plate. Right? You got to worry about that.
I am Kayla Lords everywhere, except for my birth certificate. Okay. We are going to do a quick bonus section.
Yes.
I'm going to be so tired tomorrow.
Aren't we both?
No, I'm...
I have
thoughts.
Yeah.
We're going to wrap it up. The very next episode, which will be episode 88, we will do the other question and maybe a couple more. I'm not
right.
sure that the other question is as complex a question.
No.
But it is, I think, will be good
it's
for discussion.
Pertinent, yes.
Yeah. And we really do have other good topics we've been meaning to do, but we have to kind of get through this craziness right now.
Yeah.
We'll explain the bonus section. Okay.
Okay. We good?
Kinda. Sometimes. When we try real hard.
Yes. And it's been trying this
time. Yes, it has. Okay.
All right.
We good?
We good.
Barely.
Keep
it kinky,
y'all.
We'll see you next week. Can I? In the interest of getting through this so we can go to bed, thank you. I feel awful. You might be listening to the sound of our voice at like noon on some random day, but we are recording at 11 something at night.
Yep.
Right before this thing needs to go live.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't want anybody to feel rushed, though. I hate that.
Just about an hour before it goes live.
I know. I know. I looked at what we were going to do and I went, oh, this will be a quick and easy show.
Yeah.
We had thoughts. We had, but that was a complex question. There
was
a lot going on.
There was a lot going on. There was a lot needed to be discussed. Yes.
Yes. So, okay. First of all, we have no postcards.
No.
And you checked mail for me.
Yes.
I think that's the first time you have ever checked the mailbox.
That mailbox. Yes.
Yes. Well, that's what I meant. The Kayla Lords John Brownstone mailbox.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Never checked it before.
No.
I had to. I'll explain.
Didn't even know there was a spare key.
I told you when I got the spare key, and I said, you should put this on your keychain. You went, uh-huh, just leave it there. And I left it there where there was that you pointed, and then I realized that was not a safe space. And so I put it in another safe space and have, for over a year, because I just renewed the mailbox, watched it, praying it would not get lost, because then I would also have to pay the post office, I think, some money to get another key or
right.
something. And he finally used it. Is it on your key ring?
Yeah.
You finally put it on your key ring?
Yeah.
Over a year, 13 months.
Baby you girl, you were the one who always goes by that area. Don't even.
I'm the only one who buys the groceries, but that doesn't mean you don't know how to get to Publix. Holy crap. Okay.
Anyway, there were no postcards this week.
But we would love postcards.
Yes.
Anybody who has them rattling around in your purse, Panda Kitten already sent them, but I am thinking of Panda Kitten when I say that. Please send them. Address, if you don't, first of all, there is a link in the show notes page, but if you don't have the address and you want the address right now because it's rattling around in your purse, P.O. Box 391, Crystal Beach, Florida. We don't live there, but close enough. 34681. There. Or if you're like, fuck, I'm driving, there's a link in the show notes page. Okay. We fixed weird tech stuff this week.
Yes.
Thank God for a listener who is a member of the community, because when I said, I've done these things and that thing already, can you clear your cache and clear your cookies, which I hate asking people to do because I hate it when I have to clear my cookies and my cache, because then all my logins are like, gone. She came back and said, well, I did that, but it's giving me this specific message, and I think that means this. And it was about IP addresses, which is a security thing
right,
we have to watch.
So we're able to narrow it down.
And the moment she said that, I remembered a thing that I've stared at multiple times over the past 2 months, going, I wonder if I should touch this. And so I have touched it, and it fixed at least two people's problem.
Right.
And so
we
fixed a thing.
I'm sitting there cooking dinner, and you're just like, oh,
I know.
And then you were like, Daddy, should I touch this?
I know. In the back end of our website with the system we use, it says you want to control how many IP addresses can access your site, because if you get an attack, this can be a problem. So I had kept it really, really conservative. But in today's mobile world, it was too conservative.
Yeah.
And it might still be too conservative. So we're testing it.
Right.
And I'm bumping these things up slowly.
It's much better than it was. It's doubled from what it was.
I know, it is doubled from what it was. That still might not be enough.
No.
So anybody, if I say IP address and you know exactly what I mean, I'm not going to say anything further, because for anybody else who went, what, like I did, nobody wants to be bored. But I did fix a weird tech thing.
Yes.
That has been plaguing us for 2 months.
Right.
And it is fixed. Okay.
All right.
So I'm going to tell briefly.
Yeah.
I have jury duty.
Yes, she does.
At least 8 days of it. So Monday was jury selection, and I was pretty convinced I wasn't even have to go in, because I know every time you get jury duty, you're like, you check it and you're like, oh, I don't even have to go.
Right.
I was not that fortunate.
They know better. They know better with me.
I was not that fortunate. I know a lot of people out there are like, oh no, jury duty, I'm so sorry. I actually am not upset that I have jury duty. I was upset before I got there because I get anxious when my schedule changes.
Right.
I get anxious when I have to go places I don't know anything about.
Mm-hmm.
I get anxious when I have to be around people I don't know. And all three of those things were going to converge at a courthouse in our local area.
Yeah.
And I was freaking out. And because I sort of assumed it wouldn't even happen, I didn't plan to have my whole Monday sucked up. So then I was feeling anxious about that because I had work and deadlines.
Right.
Which I managed, and it was fine. Because when you say jury duty, people just completely understand. They don't give you shit. And I thought everybody would give me shit, even though none of my clients give me shit. They are all very kind.
Yeah.
And I work really hard for them so
you
that
do.
They won't give me shit.
Right.
And I had convinced myself they were going to just like be just disgusted with me
mm-hmm.
that I had jury duty. I don't know. I have issues. Anyway, so when I get there, I realize, well, fuck, I want to sit on a jury. Mostly because I'm nosy and I want all the details.
No, not you.
Mostly because I'm good at math, you can tell. Mostly because I'm a Scorpio and I sit in judgment on people. And that, this is wonderful. Of course, I can say none of the details and I'm not going to. But so I have jury duty and I got selected for the jury. They told us on the Monday that it is definitely 8 days. They do not see it being less. It could technically possibly be more, but I've watched these attorneys. I think they're trying to like hit the 8 day, which means next Wednesday. So it's Thursday right now for us. I've done 4 days of it. So here's what happens in our world. I'm a freelancer. Especially now that we're down to one main income, if I do not work and I do not submit work, I do not get paid. If I do not get paid, we do not eat. So what do? I do jury duty. I leave the house around between 7:30 and 7:45 in the morning. I am gone until what, lately 6:30?
Yeah.
You know, 6:30 has been the latest I've gotten home.
Right.
We eat dinner. I help kind of clean up a little bit, if, you know, whatever I can do, which is not much because you've totally got it handled. And then I sit down and I start working until like 11 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
On Wednesday of this week, the exhaustion hit me. Like, it was a point like I had not felt in so long. I was almost in tears. I was so tired. Like, yeah. I just wanted to cry. Tonight, I will feel it tomorrow. but Friday night, I will work again. I have a list because everything I would normally do during the day, I have to do at night, which means anything I consider necessary, but it doesn't directly earn me money. Mm-hmm. It's not client work. My blogging, Loving BDSM blog, social media, all that kind of stuff, I've had to put completely to the side unless there's direct cash payment for it. And I have a couple of those, but everything else has to be client work. And I have to take what I normally get done in about 4 to 6 hours, sometimes 8, and mush it down into about 3 or 4 yeah. hours. So that really will narrow your focus.
Right.
I am not distracted at all.
The crazy thing about this, and you know, even for me, is that I'm coming into a whole new way of life for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And just at the time that I was starting to try to get some kind of schedule and routine for myself. Poof.
But see, here's what I would say to you about that. You are in a better position to pick a routine because technically you've had the luxury of me being here when I shouldn't be doing certain things during the day while I'm working.
Right.
Now you don't have a choice. So you can't go, oh, well, I understand she's working in there, but she is sitting in there. So, hey, baby girl, can you, will you, huh? You don't have that luxury right now. Because guess what? Before you stopped working at your job, I didn't have that luxury either. So, yeah, here's the thing. So he had a night where he did not sleep well. And so then the next day, he was very, very grumpy.
Oh,
and
miserable.
We got snippy with one another, yes. Which is rare, but it does happen. And at the time, I said to myself, this is a marathon. You're on, I think it was day 2. You got, it's like 6 more business days of this, plus you've got to work this weekend so that you're not working so late, blah, 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 how's stuff, right? So essentially it'll be like 10 solid days of just work. It is what it is. I'm certainly not complaining. So I told myself, do not let yourself get crazy over this because you're at like the 1 mile mark of this marathon. And so when he got cranky and snippy, I really did think, I did not say it, but I thought to myself, he needs a nap. And he didn't get a nap, but he got to sleep way late the next day, which is a luxury when you work from home, that's a thing you get to do. I'm not upset with him over it, but I am also not a stupid woman. So when we talked on one of my breaks or something, yesterday on Wednesday,
right.
He said, I didn't wake up till like what, 9:30, 10 o'clock.
Correct.
I'm not going to give him shit for that because I promise you, if I had that luxury, I'd fucking take it. And I have had that luxury in the past and I have fucking mm-hmm. taken it. So what I did say was, oh, so you've had sleep. See, I'm getting about 5 to 6 hours a night, which is not awful, but it's not great either. He said, yes, I've had sleep. I feel great. Okay, so now can I be the grumpy one? And he laughed and he kind of made it sound like he was conceding that, oh, I guess you mean the grumpy one. No. I'm at the courthouse for 9 to 10 hours, and then I'm going to work for 4 hours tonight after dinner. I think I get to be the grumpy one. And he said, yes, you get to be the grumpy one. I have not, in fact, been the grumpy one.
No.
Have I?
No, you haven't, actually.
I have been really even-tempered. Even when I wanted to cry last night because I was so fucking tired.
I know.
But it was just an exhaustion. It was not a stress. It was just...
Okay.
Oh, all I wanted to do was close my eyes and I couldn't.
Right.
So it is what it is.
Yeah.
So I'm actually enjoying jury duty. It's fascinating because I get to know all these details. It's also tedious as fuck. Yeah. It's the tedious part that I don't like, but the information and knowing all that stuff, that's cool.
Okay.
So yeah, we're gonna, I thought we were dialing it in for this episode and we went all in on that person's question.
Yes, we did.
It is all what right. it is. So that's,
are we good?
Oh no, you didn't even let me finish my like sentence and you interrupted me, Daddy. You're like, wrap this shit up. You are. You're not even denying it.
No, I'm not.
Daddy. How early do you have to wake up tomorrow, Daddy?
I'll probably wake up when you do.
That is not true at all. I was there Wednesday. I? You did say that's what you wanted to do today, and I did help you get up.
And I did.
Mm-hmm. And I made your coffee.
You did.
Mm-hmm. And yesterday I walked the dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a really nice person.
Sometimes. I think some of this you will pay for later, but...
Can we make sure I'm done with jury duty before I pay for anything?
I'm going to start a list.
Do you really want to beat a girl when she's already down? So anyway, that is the story. That is what's going on. That's why we've been really quiet on the blog. That's why we've been really quiet online. It's just balls to the wall around here. And I'm just plowing through and doing what we can to keep my head at least above water. And so I thought we would have a short show tonight, and instead it's almost an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Because we can't help ourselves. So there, that's it.
Yep.
I think that is it.
Uh-huh.
I think I'm done. Because I can't talk about jury duty,
no,
just to
can't.
Say that I have it. So.
Right. So we can say goodnight to the crickets?
Well, it's goodnight for us. It might be good morning for them.
Well,
it might be good lunch. It might be good afternoon tea, because I know that's a thing, and our British listeners will enjoy that. Oh, and for some of our listeners, let me go through the list. Fuck. Lube. What's the other word I say? There's another word I say that somebody said that they liked how I said it, and I don't remember. I don't remember. Aw, I want to say it for them. For our crickets, because we love you, and I still don't have merchandise for you, and I feel like I suck. But I don't think I suck. Well, I suck if you tell me to suck. That's different. Okay, no, I really am done now because I've gone into the loopy land of just rambling.
Yes.
And I could... You keep this microphone in front of me with a light on, I could talk for hours.
I'm going to bed.
Of course you are while I sit up here and finish the podcast. Okay,
all
I really
right.
am done.
Yes. We love you.
We love you. If you can't be good at it. No, if you can't, no?
Yeah.
Yeah, I said that right. Yes,
you did.
I did. Okay.
All right.
We love you.
Bye.
Thanks for putting up with us.